Exodus chapter 30. Reading in verses 17 to 21. Exodus chapter 30, verses 17 to 21. If you join me on the 18th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Now I'll have the lights and we'll look at the screen again, reminding ourselves, first of all, of the overview of the camp of Israel. You'll remember that the tabernacle was in the center of the camp, and the glory cloud hung down over the center of the tabernacle, the most holy place. Children of Israel were gathered all around the camp in various locations by their tribes. Then we notice, as we have before, the way that the tabernacle itself looked. Not exactly like this, because the articles of furniture here were inside, but they're outside here so that we can see them. But we do have the courts, the court curtains, and the large gate inviting the people in. Just inside was a brazen altar where blood was shed and sacrifice was made to establish a relationship between the people who were sinners and God who was holy. Then we have the laver right here. So it's important for us to see the location of the laver between the altar and the tabernacle itself. These other pieces of furniture, as we've said, were inside of the tabernacle. But here we have the altar, then the laver, and then on into the holy place. Here now is a view of the laver itself. Just over here, the brazen altar, and then the next the laver. There's a longer distance between the two than is shown here, but this will give us a view of the laver. It was basically a wash basin, and there was the upper section for the washing of the hands and the lower section for the washing of the feet. This was made of brass or copper, more properly, as we noted before. And that's all that it was a wash basin where the priests were to wash. Now the priests came out as far as the brazen altar to sacrifice, and then they came to the laver, and they washed, and then into the tabernacle. The same way, coming from the tabernacle back out, they stopped at the laver and washed before they came out to the brazen altar. And just a view of the tabernacle itself, noticing something of the construction of the boards. We might have opportunity to remark on that a bit this morning. They were separate planks in this fashion, and then they were held together by these bars that ran through little rings along the boards all the way down the side of the tabernacle itself. And then they were set upon silver bases. Each one had a foundation of silver, and they were set on that foundation of silver. You must remember that the wilderness itself was dirt, soil, and shifty sand, so they needed a solid foundation on which to stand. And then finally we see one more view of the boards. This gives us a little better understanding of here of the way they were held together. Here are the four bars. You see four bars coming down the outside that we saw from the other view. Two bars on the top and two bars on the bottom. Then there was one bar right here that ran through the boards. This bar was not seen, of course, as were the other four bars. This bar ran right through the boards from one end to the other and gave the rigidity necessary and held them all together. Four bars you could see, and one bar was unseen running through the middle and down below the silver foundation again. Thinking then of the laver this morning, and first of all, just a brief description of it beyond what we've seen on the screen. The laver was made of brass, or more properly copper, as we've already indicated. And the copper for the laver was received from the women of Israel and was given willingly by them in a offering to the Lord for the building of the tabernacle. Now, what they used the copper for was for mirrors. The mirrors they had in those days were not glass mirrors as we have today, but rather metal mirrors. They were not very good, as you can imagine, but this was the mirrors that they had. And so the women gave up their mirrors, which they had brought with them from Egypt, and they gave them to the Lord, and from the mirrors was fashioned out the copper that was used in the laver. Now that in itself is interesting, because a mirror is something into which we look to see what we look like. And in the New Testament, in James chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, it reminds us that the Word of God is like a mirror. And as we look into the Word of God, we get a picture of ourselves. And what we see isn't very pleasant. And we realize that we need to be cleansed, and we need to be fixed up. And so we turn to the Lord for that work, that facelifting that only He can do. And so the copper from the mirrors reminds us of the revealing of sin. So the first thing about the laver was that it suggested that sin was revealed and made obvious to the people. Reminds me of a lady one time who went to get a picture taken, and she told the photographer, as she was looking in her mirror and getting all fixed up, she said, "Now don't forget, do me justice by this picture." And he said, "Lady, you don't need justice, you need mercy." Well, most of us are in exactly the same situation. We don't need justice. If God dealt with us in justice, we should all be banished from His presence. But what we do need is the mercy and grace of God. And thank God He has provided that. Now, the copper itself, not where it came from, the mirrors of the women, but the material itself always reminds us of the fact that of judgment. You remember the copper was the material that was used on the altar. It sheathed the boards, and it was fire resistant. And the copper was a metal that would resist the activity of the fire in the altar. And so it reminds us of the fact of sin being judged, the fires of God's judgment coming upon the altar, upon the copper, and it being resisted by the copper. So the material of the laver, the copper itself, would remind us of sin being judged. Now that means that first of all, when I look into the Word of God, I see that I'm not right. Secondly, I need to do something about it. It's one thing to have my need revealed. It's another thing to exercise self-judgment. In other words, not to turn away and say, "Oh well, I'm better than somebody else, or I'm just as good as everybody else," but rather to look and see what I am, to see how deficient I am, and to do something about it, to come to God and have the cleansing that God alone can give. Now the third thing about the laver is that it was filled with water. Obviously, the cleansing agent was water in the top portion and the bottom portion of the laver. And the water tells us of the fact that at the laver, sin was not only revealed, sin was not only judged, self-judgment on the part of people. They saw that they were dirty. The priest knew that they needed to wash their hands, but they actually washed them in the water of the laver. And so sin was cleansed. I want to just get those three ideas in your mind. Sin revealed, sin judged, sin cleansed. Every one of us as believers, every one of us as individuals, needs to constantly expose ourselves to the standard of God as revealed in His Word. We need to realize we are deficient. We need to come to God and have our sin exposed. The unforgiving spirit that we have perhaps, or the resentment that is deep down inside of our heart, or the evil intent towards someone, malice or whatever it may be. We need to have that sin revealed. We need to exercise self-judgment upon it. That is, we need to say, I'm going to do something about it. Not cover it up. Not explain it away. But I'm going to deal with it. And how can we deal with it? We can deal with it through the cleansing that God provides through His precious Holy Word. Now that cleansing is found in the confession of sin to our Heavenly Father. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the Bible reveals the fact that we are sinners. The Bible brings us to self-judgment in connection with sin, but the Bible reveals a remedy, cleansing through confession to our Heavenly Father. Now at this point, it is important to notice and contrast the altar and the laver. The altar, if you remember, the brazen altar was the first article of furniture just inside the gate. The altar was where, figuratively speaking, or typically speaking, the sinner came. He came to the altar, first of all. He didn't come to the laver first. He came to the altar first. Every one of us as sinners must come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and His death upon the cross. At the laver, we had the priests coming to the laver. None of the children of Israel went to the laver, only the priests. Now, of course, in Christianity, every Christian, when he becomes a child of God, becomes a priest. So immediately, the sinner who is saved becomes a priest of God. We then are the ones who need to come to the laver for daily cleansing from sin. We come to Christ in salvation for a once and for all deliverance from the guilt of our sin. We come to the Word of God every day to receive daily cleansing as the priests of God in order that we might adequately serve the Lord. The emphasis at the altar was cleansing by blood. The emphasis at the laver is cleansing by water, and the water is typical to us of the Word of God. May I say again then that we need to come once and forever and for all as a sinner to Jesus Christ, to realize that He died upon the cross for our sins, to receive Him by faith as our personal Lord and Savior. The Word of God then says in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Or as it is stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, where Paul enumerates the fact that some of the Corinthians were adulterers, some of them were fornicators, some of them were riotous people. And then he goes on and says, but you are washed. You have been cleansed through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So once and for all, we come to Christ for salvation. Then daily, we must come to the Word of God and let God, through His Word, expose daily sin in our lives. Not the fact that we are lost and we need to be converted all over again, but perhaps the fact that I have not been truthful in my life in the last little bit. Perhaps in the fact that I have been filled with arrogant pride in my life. Perhaps the fact that I have been allowing filthy communication to proceed from my mouth or entertaining unclean thoughts in my mind. The Word of God convicts me of these things. I determine to do something about it. What? I come in confession to my Heavenly Father and I am cleansed from the defilement of that sin. So the altar speaks of union with God, and the laver speaks of maintaining communion with God. The altar again reminds us of Christ on the cross. And the laver reminds us of Christ at the throne of God as our high priest to keep us clean from sin. In John chapter 15 and verse 3, the Lord Jesus said, "You are clean through the word." In John chapter 17 and verse 19, the Lord Jesus said, "I set myself apart for my disciples that they might be sanctified," or they might be cleansed, or they might be set apart through the truth. So it is the truth of God, the Word of God, that is the operative means by which the Spirit of God today keeps Christians clean. It is the cross of Christ that cleanses sinners. It is the Word of God and its application to our present day life that cleanses saints. So, the altar has to do with cleansing from the guilt of sin. And the laver has to do with cleansing from the defilement of sin. Someone has said that the Bible will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Psalm 119 and verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." And so just as the cross of Christ is absolutely necessary to the sinner being cleansed from his sins, the daily application of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God is necessary for the saint or the priest to keep clean, that he might effectively function as one of God's children. Make no mistake about it, Christian. If you neglect the Word of God, you will be unclean, unfit, and you will spiritually die. Not you will be lost eternally, but your spiritual effectiveness will come to an end, and you will not be able to serve as a priest of God. In Israel, the priest who didn't stop at the laver died physically. He was put to death. Striking. Alarming. But mark you, it alarms us to this fact, that the Christian who fails to appropriate daily cleansing through applying the Word of God to his life, he too dies in effectiveness for God. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much of the Word of God you know and have memorized. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how many churches you have been a member of. I don't care how many people you have led to Christ. If you today are not allowing the Word of God to be effective in your daily life, your effectiveness as a priest of God will shortly and immediately come to an end. We have a great illustration of this by the Lord Jesus to his disciples in John chapter 13. The Lord Jesus was washing his disciples' feet. And Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you're not one of my disciples. If you don't have a part in the laver, you're not one of God's priests. If you don't know anything about the daily cleansing through the Word of God, confession of sin daily, maintaining daily communion with God, then you can't go on and live for God." So then Peter says, "Well, give me a bath all over then." Jesus said, "You have received a bath all over." When one becomes a Christian, he is cleansed as far as the eternal guilt of sin is concerned. He is delivered from going down to hell. His sins can never damn his soul, but his sins in his Christian life can end his effectiveness as a child of God. Do you not understand that sin has two applications? First of all, it damns your soul for all eternity. And if there's a soul in this service this morning who is still in your sins, who has never come for cleansing through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, may I say that Jesus said, "If you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come." So come to Christ this morning. Find cleansing through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Realize that Jesus died because of your sins, and therefore embrace Him as your personal Lord and Savior. But know this, that after you become a Christian, it is absolutely impossible to live an effective Christian life without daily coming to the Word of God and allowing the Spirit of God to convict you about what is sin in your life and confessing it to the Lord and being made right with God. So Jesus said to Peter, you've had your bath all over, but now you need to have your feet washed. And Jesus, before he went to heaven, as I've already said in John 17, when he prayed to the Father, he said, Father, now I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to take up a new work. First of all, I shed my blood to cleanse them from the guilt of sin, that they might be my people. Now I'm going to cleanse them through the Word of God every day. I sanctify myself to this work. I set myself apart to keeping my people clean. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says that Jesus gave himself for his church. He shed his precious blood. But then he says that he might wash it with the water of the Word of God, that it might not have any defilement, any spot, any wrinkle, that it might be a pure, holy church, able to live for God in Groton in 1975. God not only save you from hell, but he wants to make your life effective for him today. Now the next thing about the altar is this, about the laver rather. There were no dimensions in connection with it. Now that is absolutely amazing. I don't know if you've done any reading on your own through this section, but if you have, you will notice that dimensions and specifications are very important. But when you come to the laver, and we read what it said about the laver, there are no dimensions given. How big was it? I don't know. What was the diameter of it? Nobody knows. The dimensions were not given. And I think the lesson for us there is that there is absolutely no limit to the degree of holiness necessary in our lives. In other words, the standard is the standard of absolute holiness in Jesus Christ. And that is beyond any of us. And none of us can ever reach it. But on the other hand, that's the pursuit of our lives. 1 Peter 1:16 says, become holy. Be in the process of becoming holy as I am holy. So my dear Christian friend, the Word of God will constantly cut deeper and deeper into your life. If it's anything like my life when I was a young Christian, it began to cut into my outward external life that everybody else could see. And that's the first thing we all worry about, whatever other people can see. But then as I went on as a Christian, it began to cut into my thought life. It began to cut into my attitude life. It began to cut into my motivation life. And I find today that I am more concerned about inward, deep, spiritual issues within my own personal life that nobody ever knows anything about than I ever was before. Because the degree of holiness that God calls us to is infinite. And the Word of God becoming operative in our lives has an ever-sharpening cut to its edge. The Old Testament says the same thing, Isaiah 52:11. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. The next thing we notice is the position of the laver. It was between the altar and the tabernacle. Now, being between the altar and the tabernacle meant that when the priests came out to offer the sacrifices at the brazen altar to serve the people in that respect, they must wash at the laver. It also meant that when they left the altar and went into the presence of God, they must stop and wash at the laver. Very simply, it's simply this. When they came out to serve men, they must wash. When they went in to worship God, they must wash. The laver was between man and God, if you will. And every child of God, being a priest of God, has a twofold function. He ministers to mankind. He ministers to the world in which he lives. And he also worships God. He ministers to God. He goes into the presence of God. He goes out to the presence of men. We shall not be surprised then to find that the Scriptures make it quite clear that we must cleanse ourselves before we go into God or before we come out to men. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 28 says in connection with the communion service, a time of worship, a time of remembrance, a time of communion with the Lord, an intimate time when we go into the presence of the Lord. It says, let a man examine himself. What is that saying? It's saying before I can worship God, I must stop at the laver. I must see that there is nothing that would hinder my bringing my sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. The Lord himself touched on that point in his own ministry. He said to the people in his day in the connection with the Jewish temple, he said, if you're going to bring a gift unto the Lord and you find that there's something between you and your brother, leave your gift and go to your brother and get straightened out with him. Then bring your gift to the Lord. In other words, you can't get in. You can't come into worship if you've got dirty hands or dirty feet. It's time that we stop playing church. It's time that we stop going through the motions. It's time that we realize that God says we can't function. We may be going through the motions, but there's nothing really there unless we're in touch and in tune with God. And we cannot live in bitterness and clash and strife in our homes all week and function for God on Sunday. We cannot live with problems that are deep within us in relationship to people around us in the neighborhood or at work or wherever and expect to function for God for 1 hour on Sunday. We must stop at the laver and we must deal with that sin and be cleansed from it. The psalmist said in Psalm 66 and 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. What was he talking about here? He was talking about his prayer life. Do you ever go into the presence of the Lord in prayer? Well, I hope you do. But you won't get above the ceiling of the building if there's sin in your heart. If things are not right in my daily life, I cannot get into the sanctuary. The laver was between the altar and the sanctuary, and the priest who didn't stop at the laver died. And the Christian who doesn't stop for cleansing, daily cleansing, won't get in. He dies spiritually, ineffective. Nothing happens. Going through the motions. Everything's fine. But is it? It isn't. On the other hand, we are not surprised to find that the Bible speaks about going out to men in exactly the same way. Paul says, I am careful to keep my body under subjection. I am careful to keep my life under the control of God, lest after having preached to others, I find myself to be a castaway. Somebody says a poor soul, he was afraid of losing his salvation. He wasn't afraid of losing his salvation. He knew that he was cleansed from sin eternally. He knew that he was bound for heaven. But he knew that if there was sin in his life, he could not effectively minister to men. And the last thing he wrote is very similar to that. I want to read that to you. From 2 Timothy in chapter 2, Paul says things like this. He says, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, fit for the master's use, prepared for every good work. Flee youthful lusts, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, and so on. The apostle Paul goes on and he points out to the young man Timothy that unless he was careful to stop at the laver, and to keep his life clean in the daily living from the defilement of sin, his life could not be effective for God. May I apply it to you? May I come into my life and your life? As I stand here before you, I am a person whose physical health depends upon the fact that my body eliminates waste material every time I breathe in and out. It is constantly a part of my bodily function that my body shall be able to divest itself of waste materials. I cannot live physically if my body ceases to function in this manner. May I go with you to the hospital and watch the surgeon as he prepares for his operation and watch him wash his hands and watch him put on these gloves and these garments and this mask. Watch him take these instruments that are sterilized. I am aware of the fact that unless he is careful to keep clean, he is not able to function effectively in saving a man's life. And I remind you that we are living in a world that is concerned about its air being polluted, not clean. It is concerned about its water supplies being polluted, not clean. Everything around us, if we'll wake up and look, tells us one message, that we must get rid of garbage. We must get rid of defilement. We cannot live with it. It will destroy us. And spiritual garbage will destroy your effectiveness for God. Mark it down. Mark it down. My friend, make sure that you get into the presence of God day after day with the holy breath of the Word of God, living in the corrupt and rotten and rotting spirit age in which we're living. You need to get into the Word of God, see what God's standards are, and you need to let the Spirit of God convict your soul about your self-living. And you need to be cleansed at the laver. If you are not, you won't get into the presence of God. Prayers, yes, but no prayer life. Ritual of worship, yes, but no real praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. No joy in the Lord. Ministering to men, witnessing at work, yes, but no effectiveness. Trying to serve God and your generation in some way? Yes, but nothing happening. Why? You haven't stopped at the labor. I trust by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God that one thing has become clear to you this morning. That it is one thing to have an initial confrontation with Jesus Christ and to accept Him as one's Lord and Savior. And to know, praise God to know, cleansing from the eternal guilt of sin. But to lay alongside of that in contrast, the fact that the priest, the man of God, the woman of God, you who are Christians, must know something of daily cleansing from sin if you are going to effectively live your Christian life. So the priests went in and came out, and they stopped at the checkpoint. Sin was revealed, the mirrors. Sin was judged, my hands are dirty. Sin was cleansed, washed in the water of the laver. May God grant us to keep clean. Because only as we keep clean can we go into the sanctuary and can we effectively go out to our fellow man. Let's pray together. As we go to prayer, perhaps God has been speaking to you about sin in your life as a Christian. You determine now to exercise self-judgment upon that sin, not to do what you have been doing, to excuse it, to hide it, but to face it. And right now in this quiet moment, you want to confess that to the Lord. We just take a moment for that right now. Now may I encourage you, if this has involved someone else, to go to them at the opportune time and to ask their forgiveness, to be reconciled, that your home might be right, the relationship with that other person might be right, that you might get into the sanctuary, and that once again you might get out to men. Father, we pray your blessing upon your word to each and every one of our hearts. Oh God, thank you for convicting me of sin. Thank you for your grace and mercy in cleansing me from sin. Oh Father, help me to remember to stop every time, constantly to be aware of the need for daily cleansing. Lord, don't let me build up days or weeks out of fellowship with you, still going through the routine, but not really accomplishing anything for you. Father, for your people, the family of God, the priests of God, I pray the same this morning. And Father, now, in the value and benefit of what you've been saying to us this morning, grant our lives to be effective for you. We pray it for Jesus' sake.